Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. So I'm really, really excited about the next few weeks because the Lord has laid it on my heart to start a series this morning and go into the next couple of weeks talking about sonship and what it is to be a child of God. And I want to make a disclaimer from the outset. When we say sonship, that is not exclusive of ladies. Okay. So when you hear sonship, please don't feel, ladies, that you are excluded. I'm talking just about being a child of God. But in Romans, it talks about that we have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry out sons or children of God. So when you hear that, you just got to recognize where I'm coming from. The place I'm coming from is that we are a new creation. And the Bible says that as a new creation, we are a completely new species of being, where there is no male or female, black or white, slave or free, rich or poor. We are one in Christ. So when you hear sonship, please, ladies, receive it as a child, okay? That you are, that's daughtership. Okay. So we're going to be using 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 as our theme verse because there is such an important thing that we need to realize and discover and believe in as children of God. What God has made you to be as a child of God. So let's read 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says here, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated or holy nation, God's own purchased possession, a special people, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I'm going to read it out of the Afrikaans Bible because it's just such a wonderful description from the original Greek. And it says this, "Julle daarenteen is 'n uitverkore volk, 'n koninklike priesterdom, 'n nasie wat vir God afgesonder is, die eiendomsvolk van God, die volk wat die verlossingsdade moet verkondig, van Hom wat julle uit die duisternis geroep het na sy wonderbare lig." Did I say it right? Notice the words, the descriptive words of what Paul or Peter is writing here about who you are as a child of God. The descriptions and the words that he's using here, he starts off by saying that you have been chosen and elected by God Himself. You're not some accident. You're not just here because of some evolutionary growth that we've experienced. No, the Bible says that you have been chosen and elected by God. And what's so wonderful about God choosing and electing you, it says he did that before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1, you can see that. That he chose you before the foundation of the world. He had you on his mind. And it says that you are a chosen people. A kindred, chosen people of the same kind. He's saying chosen by God to be a part of the family of God. And then he uses another word. He says that you are a royal priesthood. It's talking about a kingly priesthood. That your lineage is now noble. Your lineage is now royalty. And that you are a priesthood with direct access because the veil has been torn. So you stand no longer with a priest before between you and God. You stand as a priest before the face of God. As somebody who has royal blood flowing through their veins. Separated by God. So that you might display what the kingdom looks like as somebody who is royalty. To show His marvelous light, to display the virtues of the kingdom, that you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, and transplanted, placed into the kingdom of the Son of Love. You see, it's so interesting for me because so often I see people who are children of God still living like they are paupers, still living like they are orphaned. Still living connected to fear and slavery, rejection, abandonment. Instead of living, thinking, seeing themselves as God sees them, as chosen, elected children of God who are royalty. You know, in Proverbs chapter 30, it says this, under three things the earth quakes, and under four it cannot bear up. So saying, these are some things that put a strain on the earth, that put a strain on this planet. A slave when he becomes a king. He's talking about somebody who is destined to rule in royalty, but whose heart is still connected to slavery. And in Romans 8, it says that we are no longer, or we must not relapse into a thinking which leads us into slavery and fear again, but we have received the spirit of sonship or adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Bible says here that when you have the heart of an orphan and you want to rule, the earth can't handle it. And we see it in our country. We see it all over the world. People who are ruling as kings, but whose hearts are orphaned. An orphaned heart is a heart that is rejected. An orphaned heart is a heart that is filled with fear. It's filled with survival. It's filled with me, 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 because I've got to look after me, because there's not enough to go around, so I've got to look after me. And the Bible says that the earth can't stand. It quakes when a king is ruling, but his heart is still connected to being an orphan. See, when you recognize your royal lineage, it changes everything. The way that you respond to people, the way that you view yourself, the way that you view your relationship with God, everything changes because you no longer have to major on the minors. There's some things when you recognize that you are royalty and you encounter them, whether they be in life or with people or with yourself, you just go, because it's not important. Because you're not worried about tomorrow. You don't care about the future. Why? Because you recognize who you are and whose you are as a royal priesthood. A son, a child, has no... Let me ask, do you think Prince Harry is worried about his future? Do you think Prince Harry is going around wondering, I don't know about my tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be enough. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm asking a question. Does he ever care about tomorrow, about whether there's going to be enough? So even if you have to see him eating slop chips and fish, because that's what they do in England, on the pavement, do you think that he thinks that this is the only meal he's going to have? No, he gets up because he knows he's going back to the palace. He knows who he belongs to. He knows what is his. See, you and I, as children of God, Bible says that he's the King of Kings. If you're a son of a king, what does that make you? A prince. A mini king. Royalty. And this is what the Bible is saying. He's calling this out. He's saying, listen, this is who you are. This is who you need to recognize, who God has made you to be. Which means my interactions with people need to come from this place of I'm royalty. You see, if my heart is still connected to being an orphan, I've got to protect myself. So then if I'm interacting with somebody, I've got to show you, because I don't feel powerful, I've got to show you that I am powerful. So which means I've got to shout louder. Hello? I've got to let my emotions just go because I've got to prove to you I'm more powerful than you, but actually I don't believe I'm powerful. See, an orphaned heart is a rejected heart, which means I'm going to reject you before you have the opportunity to reject me. So I will go into a relationship, but I'm going to sabotage it because I'm not going to wait for you to reject me because I'm rejected. So I'm going to reject you first. Survival. It's like I've got to survive. I've got to protect myself because I'm an orphan. There's not going to be enough. What was it, Tom Sawyer? Which one of those? Oliver Twist, more Lord, just more Master. More Master. Many children of God walking around, more Master. Not recognizing that they've been adopted into royalty. Living in the palace, every need taken care of because he's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness, but with the mindset and the heart of a pauper. Dragging that belief system and that mindset into the kingdom. Instead of recognizing and waking up in the morning saying, thank you, Father, I'm royalty. So that when you walk into a room, you recognize who you are. You don't walk into a room feeling insignificant without purpose. See, any child or any orphan is living life without a sense of significance. They believe that they are insignificant. Why? Because they've been rejected or abandoned. So they have a heart that is not connected to any kind of significance. What does that mean? It means I don't have value or worth. So we'll walk into a room with a sense that I'm insignificant. A son connected to the kingdom of God recognizes his purpose and his significance because he knows who he belongs to and he knows who he is. So then you can walk into a room because you know you have purpose, because you know who you belong to. You know that you're a part of the kingdom and kings rule. It says in Romans chapter 8, it says that God desires, or you will reign as kings through the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. When you understand righteousness, who you are as the righteousness of God, and you understand the ability of God that it flows through righteousness, that Jesus is your righteousness, you can reign like a king. Because your heart is persuaded of identity rather than being persuaded of something that you are not. You have not received a spirit of an orphan. You have received a spirit of sonship, which is connected to the kingdom. Let me just tell you about this kingdom. In this kingdom, the streets are made of gold. See, what are we doing? We are trying to look at what this earth possesses to derive our value. But it says that you have been redeemed not with gold and silver and things that perish, but we have been redeemed with something that is far more precious, which is the blood of Jesus. So an orphan is trying to get their significance and their identity out of the things of this world. A son has got their identity out of their purchased price and the value that they believe they have. So God has ascribed a value on you and I. That is why I have purpose. And the value he has ascribed on me, that there is nothing on this planet, there is no abundance, riches, or sources of wealth or commodity on this earth that can equate to your value. So if you have to think about the trillions of oil, barrels of oil, and all the gold and minerals and platinum and diamonds and whatever else you can think of, the abundance on this planet, nothing can equate to your value. So God says that. He says there is nothing that can equate to the value that I've ascribed to you. So I will come as your creator in the body of a human being, and I will pay what you could never pay to show you your eternal worth and value. So when I wake up in the morning and I recognize that God himself, the creator, has ascribed value unto me, adopted me, placed me into his family, the Bible says I've actually been born of him in Peter. The word there is the Greek word sperma, where we get the word sperm, creation, where God has actually created you himself and put you into his kingdom with his nature. And he says, this nature is a nature of royalty. It is a noble nature. So when life and circumstances and people want to come at you or are in your presence and who are not connected to that kingdom, they want to show you how powerful they are because of their own need for acceptance and purpose. And you don't have to show them anything because you know who you are. Hello, is this making sense? Don't envy evil men, but continue to reverence the Lord all the time, for surely you have a wonderful future ahead of you. You see, a son knows his future. There is hope for you yet. In Proverbs 31, 25, Proverbs 31, who's a Proverbs 31 woman here? Some of you. And the other woman? Go and, ladies, go and read Proverbs 31, and when you read it, declare it over your life and say, this is who I am. Verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her garments. She smiles about the future. Strength and dignity are her garments. So she carries herself like she's a princess. Because strength and dignity are hers. Because she knows she belongs to the king. And the Bible says she smiles at her future. Doesn't say she's worried about her future. So I'm going to quickly deal this morning. I don't have much time. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be showing the contrast between sons and orphans, princes and paupers, and the thinking that goes with it. See, if I believe I'm a pauper, I'm looking for significance, I'm looking for acceptance, I'm looking for somebody to notice me. So what does that mean? That means when I'm in a conversation with people, I've got to be the one talking. I've got to make sure my voice is heard because I don't feel like my voice is heard. I've got to talk loud. I've got to exaggerate because I don't believe that my words have value. It's nobody in this church. We know that, okay? Sons of the kingdom don't have to prove themselves to anybody because they know who they are. So anything that I do is a reflection of who I am as a son of God. So I can walk. The Bible says you have been crowned with glory and honor, dignity and worth. I walk with a consciousness of my value. See, and I notice this. I hang out with pastors, okay? And I notice pastors in your presence and they become insecure. So what do? They exaggerate. Evangelistically speaking. So either it's an exaggeration or it's a woe is me. Because either way, I've got to look for acceptance. It's like, listen, you don't have to do that. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. That's why in the Vineyard movement, we don't place any importance on titles. When we hang out, it's not pastor so-and-so, apostle, bishop, whatever, whatever. It's Steve. Pastoring is what I do, but I am Steve, a son, child of God. We don't get our value out of what we do. We get our value out of who we are. Amen? So we're going to look at this morning, one of the signs of an orphan heart. I had a whole bunch this morning, but I realized I can only deal with one this morning. So one of the first signs of an orphan heart is jealousy. An orphan is somebody who gets jealous easily. And it comes in many forms. And it's, you're envious or jealous of people who have more than you. More favor, more time, more money, more joy. So you get jealous. You get jealous when your close friends hang out with other people. Jealousy is a sign that you believe that there isn't enough to go around. So you've got to fight for what's yours. Listen, you cannot receive what you won't bless. Let me say that again. You won't be able to receive what you can't bless. If you are jealous of somebody because of their prosperity, you will never ever be able to receive it, even though it's the thing that you want. What do we say? We say you're green with envy, eh? So the very thing that I want, and I'm jealous that you have, I won't have the capacity to receive because I can't bless it. But if you bless it, you're opening up your heart to receive it. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Listen to this in James 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Lie, the truth of what? The truth of who you are. When you are jealous, you are lying against the truth of who you are, that you are connected to an abundant kingdom. But now you are jealous because you think somebody has more than you, when you have access to the very same promises. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Ooh. Listen, how many of you like to hang out with demons? He's saying if you've got jealousy in your heart, that's like hanging out with demons. And notice, every other evil thing. Ugh. Jealousy opens the door of your heart to hang out with demons and every other evil thing. Ugh. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Whatever you do, do not get jealous. If you see somebody has what you are wanting, bless it and say, thank you, Father, that's mine too, because I'm your child and I'm your favorite. Do you believe you're God's favorite? I don't know if you can, because I am. See, you are God's favorite and you've got to believe it in your heart. Otherwise, you're going to go relapse back into the thinking of being a slave, which leads to fear. See, the root of it all is fear. The fear of rejection, the fear of not having enough, the fear of insignificance, the fear of abandonment, the fear of not being cared for, the fear of not having any value or significance. And Jesus came to redeem and rescue you from that, give you the spirit of sonship through adoption into his family, where you can walk around and recognize that you are noble royalty and an heir to the kingdom. David became a target of jealousy. And I'm going to quickly go through this in 1 Samuel chapter 18. This is after David has now killed Goliath. It says, now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. Jonathan was Saul's son. And Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house, Jesse's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Listen, if there was anybody who needed to be jealous of David, it was Jonathan. Jonathan was an heir to the king. He was the son of the king. But what does he do? He doesn't become jealous of him, but he displays what true loyalty and friendship looks like. The very one who should have been jealous. Verse 5, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So what is David doing? He's just killed Goliath. He's just proved himself loyal to the nation of Israel and to the king. He's obeyed God. He's delivered the children of Israel. Amen? It happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet who? King Saul. Did they come out to meet David? No, they came out to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. Verse 7, the woman sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can be he have but the kingdom? Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Saul became jealous, even though the people were ascribing glory and praise to King Saul, even though they were saying, Saul, well done for choosing a man of God who could kill Goliath. Well done, Saul, you are a great king. As soon as people started to say, we ascribe, man, this is amazing. Saul was 1,000, but he's picked a guy who can kill 10,000. We have a great king. He got jealous, and the Bible says he became suspicious. Why? To build a case against him. How many people do you know? How many of you have experienced, when you've experienced prosperity and the favor of God and the blessing of God, then people become suspicious of you? Well, how come he's prospering? Must be doing something scaly. He must be doing something. He's conniving the books. Why? We become jealous. So what do? We become suspicious. And then we build a case against that person. Because of our own insecurity. No one here, but the others. Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall, but David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Who was afraid of who? It should say David was afraid of Saul because he's throwing spears at him. It says Saul was afraid of David. You see, when you are filled with fear in your heart and you are throwing spears at others, it's just revealing your own insecurity. It's just showing you that your heart is not connected to nobility and sonship. So because of your own fear, you will hurl and you will create cases and you will be suspicious and you will think the worst of others because of your own fear. How many friendships, businesses, reputations have been destroyed because of jealousy? First Samuel 18, verse 14. David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. You can prosper when the Lord is with you, when you recognize, I belong to the King. I have a noble blood reigning and living and flowing in me. I'm connected to the kingdom of God. And that leads me to prosperity. It's amazing to me. First, David gets favor with man, and then he gets favor with God, and Saul is jealous. It's one thing for people to be jealous when you have the favor of man. It's another thing to be jealous when you see the favor of God on someone. I'm going to close with Romans 12. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. See, the key to all of this, Bible says we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. But I can't love God and I can't love my neighbor until I know how much I'm loved. You know, many people think, well, God loves me because he has to, but he's actually just putting up with me. He doesn't actually like me. And because you believe that, you don't like you. And because you don't like you, you don't like anybody else. It is so important to believe your redemptive price and the value that God has ascribed to you, that you can begin to like yourself and love yourself so that you can love your neighbor and love God. When you believe how much he loves you, that you can look in the mirror and you can say, I love you. And some of you sitting here this morning don't like you. And you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you don't like what you think, you don't like what you value, and you don't like it. So because you don't like it, you can't like anybody else. And the Bible says that you and I need to believe the truth of what God says, that He likes you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you've been made in His image, that He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows every intricate part of who you are, and He loves it. He delights in you. And when you begin to believe that and believe the love that He has for you, you can begin to love yourself and love your neighbor and love God. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others. Prince Harry volunteers his time to serve children in Africa. Does it take away from the fact that he's a prince? He knows who he is, so he can do what he does. Do your best to live as everybody's friend. Beloved, don't be obsessed with taking revenge, but leave that to God's righteous justice. For the scriptures say, if you don't take justice in your own hands, I will release justice for you, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, buy him lunch. Win him over with kindness, for your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience and God will reward you with favor. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. That is the true sign of nobility. When you can live above fear, live in the affirmation of your Father, live without worry or care because you know who you are and you know that you are connected to a royal family. Won't you stand to your feet? You're a child of the King. You've been chosen and elected by God to be a part of His family. And there is a royal lineage and royal blood flowing through you. And you're a priest of God to show and manifest and display the kingdom of God on earth because of who lives in you. Let's let go of this poverty, slaved, orphan mindset. See, in Romans, it says, consider it so. See, we think we've got to earn our way into it. He says, consider it so. That's what repentance is. Repentance means changing my mind. Turning from a mindset and a belief system and taking on the mindset of the kingdom. Royalty. Why don't you close your eyes? Maybe you're standing here this morning and you felt more connected to the spirit of an orphan than you did to the spirit of sonship. Maybe you have felt more connected to being rejected, abandoned, feeling that you are not cared for than you are to the spirit of sonship, where there is no fear, there is only hope, there is only a consciousness of abundance, righteousness. You have an opportunity this morning to say, Lord, I repent from that way of thinking. I change my mind from that way of thinking, and I choose to believe who you say I am. That I'm cared for, I'm accepted, I am blessed, I have a future. You are my shepherd. And you have an opportunity right now to respond to God's affirmation of you, that you are a royal priesthood. And let go of that thinking. The thinking of fear, survival. And step into the realm of love and abundance. You have an opportunity right now to respond to God's affirmation of you, of the worth that He has ascribed to you. That you're valuable, been redeemed, rescued, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of Love. Right now, respond to Him. Say, Father, forgive me for believing a lie. I choose to believe. I'm a child of the King. Maybe you're standing here this morning, you've never made Jesus your Lord. Maybe you've never ever accepted him as your king. Maybe you've been surviving in life on your own. And you have realized this morning that God is for you, that he's with you, that he's on your side. He's the one inviting you into his family. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, you will be saved, made whole, prospered, delivered, set free. You must be born again. You've got to have the Spirit of God come and live in you. For you to receive his Spirit means that you are made new. In the new birth, you are made a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new because you are translated into his kingdom. If that's you this morning, you've never said, Jesus, I want to make you my king and my Lord, my Savior. And you sense God inviting you into that relationship this morning, I would love to just lead you in a simple prayer. If that is you, with no one looking around, just slip up your hand quickly so I can see who you are, and I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There are many hands going up. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Can we pray with those who've responded to the love of God this morning? Let's all pray together. If you lifted your hand, and our family, can we just pray together? We just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. I believe you died for me, and you rose again, and you are Lord of all. I surrender to you. I will follow you. Thank you that I'm your child. And you love me. In Jesus' name. So Father, we thank you that all of heaven is rejoicing this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have been transferred into the kingdom of God this morning. Lord, we rejoice with those who've trusted in you this morning. We celebrate with the angels and all of heaven as people enter into the kingdom this morning. And we love you and we thank you for your goodness, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You are highly favored, deeply loved of God. See you next week. Go and be royalty this week. Amen. God bless you.